Oh, here we go. NRL Live episode 58 is here. Another week of rugby league. We're going to look back at the round 23's action and a Supercoach wrap. Also this week in league, the video referee inconsistencies and controversy. We're going to analyse some of the decisions made by the video referee over the week and talk about the fact that players are staying down for penalties. Also, our annual segment is back for another year, Dead or Alive. We'll announce which teams are finished for 2013 and which are still alive. Of course, round 24 predictions, Supercoach preview and World of Sport. Pete is with us as always. How are you, mate?
I'm great. Thanks, Paul. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Tigers and Mess unfortunately cannot be with us tonight, so it's just the two of us tonight. But there's so much to talk about, we better get straight into it. And let's look at last week's games first of all. Well, South's a controversial victory in the end, 22-10 over Manly. We'll talk about that a bit more in a moment. Brisbane 22 defeated Parramatta 12. Saturday footy, the Bulldogs 28, too good for Canberra 16 down in the nation's capital, while North Queensland kept their finals hopes alive with a 22-10 victory over the Gold Coast. And Cronulla came from behind, another controversial game, 22-18 over St George. Sunday footy, Penrith 28, an entertaining match, defeated the Warriors 24 over in New Zealand. Big win for the Panthers, keeps them alive, at least mathematically in 2013. While Melbourne 23, too good for Newcastle 10. And Monday night footy, Sydney Roosters 56, smashing the West Tigers 14. And I can tell you, there's some rather late-breaking news, at least from when we record this. We record this on a Tuesday night of most weeks. And the West Tigers, speaking of which, well, they're saying now that the joint venture is really unravelling, Pete. I'm reading here that there's the Balmain chairman, Leslie Glenn, has accused the Magpies of betrayal of trust and an indication of disrespect, quote unquote. It's all in regards to a proposal from West side of the joint venture. West Ashfield wants control of the West Tigers board in exchange for saving the club from insolvency and a cash injection of $1 million to save it from a financial collapse. Pete, it's just pretty much latest news, although through the course of the year, we have talked about the difficulties the West Tigers have faced off the field. And what do you make of these latest revelations?
Yeah, it's not good news, obviously, is it? It's joint ventures come down a long way from the Halcyon days, the great grand final victory in 2005 and successive semi-finals appearance in 2010, 2011 to where it is now. There have been rumours of problems on this in control of the Tigers for quite some time. And I remember last year with the Western Suburbs Magpies team being removed from the Jim Beam Cup competition. There was controversy about that, and I think that just the whole thing through the board, I think it's affected the on-field performance of the team as well. And why these boards can't get on and for the good of the club move forward, I don't know. It reminds me a bit of the old Jack Gibson quote: "If you get your front office right, then everything else follows." And I think it's no true words in this case.
Well, it didn't work for the Northern Eagles, and even St George Illawarra, definitely St George portion, have got greater control there. This one was always considered to be fairly 50-50. I guess that's proven harder to accommodate all sides, perhaps, and now finally we're seeing the unravelling of this joint venture. I don't know how much longer it's going to survive, at least in its current form. It just seems like that they're out of cash, they're out of ideas, they're out of being able to compromise and negotiate with one another. The different factions has been an issue for many a year, but now with the lack of form on the field, the lack of a galvanising figure like Tim Sheens to help keep everything together, it seems like there is massive trouble afoot at the West Tigers, and the CEO David Smith is going to have to step in and step in fast. More breaking news today. David Ferner has been sacked, so we're going to talk about that as well. And Pete, it seems like he's been sacked down there, what they're saying, for inconsistent on-field performances, but perhaps there's a bit more to it than that.
Yeah, one has to wonder really what is going on down there with the Raiders, with the with Blake Ferguson pulling out very late the game last week against Canterbury, and with the ongoing issues of young Anthony Milford, whether he's going to move up to the, whether he's been going to be released to move up back north to be with his sick father, I don't know. It's all very strange down there. Like I always thought this situation of having two members of the same family, or possibly actually three, as Don Furness Sr., former the first coach of the Raiders, is heavily involved down there as one of the overseers, one of the godfathers, if you like, of the club. And David Fern, a lot of people may not realise, but his brother, Don Jr., is the chief executive. So it's going to make for an interesting Christmas dinner at the Ferner household this year, as I can say. It's, but in all seriousness, to sack a coach with three rounds to go when there's still a chance to make the eight.
They're equal eight. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I just can't understand it at all. Who'd want to be a coach and, you know, discourage every player from going to the Raiders if that's what they're going to do?
It's absolutely crazy. They're equal eighth. Obviously, things haven't gone well the last couple of weeks. The big loss to Melbourne, and the loss to the Dogs this weekend. But, I mean, they're still in it. And, yeah, it's got to be more to it. I think some of the off-field issues, Blake Ferguson, Anthony Milford, the fact that other members of the playing group resigned from the captaincy because of the fact that the Raiders hadn't got rid of Blake Ferguson, almost feels like David Fern is the fall guy for mismanagement. Some players don't seem to want to play long-term for the Raiders, whether it's the fact of living in the relatively cold climate of Canberra or other reasons, I'm not sure. But it just seems like David Ferner is now become victim of all this off-field issues that just seems to dominate that club over the last number of years, with players being let go continuously for all sorts of reasons.
In his own right, this man is a club great, represented New South Wales and Australia.
Yeah.
And was also Clive Churchill medal winner when they flogged Canterbury in the 1994 grand final.
Yeah, that's
right. They said it was one of the saddest days in the club's history. And, yeah, I can't think of too many worse for the Raiders, really.
And some big news there as well. So we're going to go back a little bit now and talk about last week's games. Well, from a Supercoach perspective, Cameron Smith returns to the top of the leaderboard, at least in round 23, he was at the top of the leaderboard. He did have the worst missed conversion of all time, but still managed to rack up 117 points. David Simmons also continues to perform. He came second with 115, while Brett Morris benefited from a good combination with Jason Nightingale, who went back to fullback in Josh Dugan's absence. Morris got third there. As predicted, Josh Maguire and Corey Parker both finished in the top 12 there, while Sean Johnson was fourth overall with 111 points, and Anthony Milford sixth, the man we just mentioned earlier, with 108. Gavin Cooper was a hot read, and he came through equal 13th with 87 points. Sleeper of the round. Well, he's not really a sleeper, but Jason Nightingale showed he could fill in for Josh Dugan at fullback. He scored 99 points and finished 10th overall. What we learned, as expected, the teams with the most to play for this time of year are stepping up. Although the Dragons were a surprise, consider that was due to the local derby. They'll probably return to type this week. You've got to get your big names in there, keep them in there. And obviously, it's your best chance of winning at this playoff time. Hot and cold, James Maloney has the most points in the past 4 weeks. He's averaging almost 30 points above his earlier season form. Jonathan Thurston's equal second with Andrew Fifita. However, Thurston's over 25 points above his average. Fifita's only 16.85. So you can see the difference there with Thurston really stepping it up. No coincidence with Thurston's return to form. The Cowboys are playing well and winning games and making a fast run home to the eight. Felidi Mateo's form has dipped with the Warriors. He's averaging over 10 points below his season average, while Lewis Brown is over 11 points below his best also. And finally, David Nofaluma's great run is finally coming down. He's almost 17 points below his remarkable season average of almost 50 over the last month. So as we talked about this week in league, David Furness sacked. Now we've got issues with the West Tigers board. Maybe it's going to take a bit away from the video referee. Jeff Toovey went Ballistic on Friday night copped a $10,000 fine for his troubles in regards to a try or no try to Steve Maddow. It was awarded no try despite going upstairs. It looked like that he was sliding into the in goal. It looked like he was going to score the try. It was hard to get the evidence, and the video referee decided that it wasn't conclusive enough, and therefore the on-field decision stood. Jeff Tuvey did not like that one bit. We heard about a lot of issues that night. We're going to talk about some of them in more detail. But first of all, we'll talk specifically about that try. Now, there's no doubt that Maddow scored. It was, however, hard to tell 100% via the video referee had he got the ball down. So by the letter of the new interpretation of how they're doing the law, because the on-field referee said no try, they decided to stick with that decision. Jeff Tuvey wasn't happy about it. Manly fans weren't happy about it. But that was the way it went. We would go to Saturday afternoon football. Sam Williams goes over. Looked like a fair try. Awarded try on the field. But went upstairs to double check. They looked at it a number of times. And as they looked at it, I guess they finally convinced themselves that, in fact, he'd dropped the ball. Now, if you watch the game, his hand... It wasn't the best put down ever, but it looked like there was enough evidence to say at least to stick with the on-field decision. Yet in this case, interpretation was that it was actually no try, quite inconsistent with the Friday night decision. Then we go forward to Monday night football. Daniel Mortimer quite clearly held up. Well, the game was still fairly close at 14-6. I know it probably didn't have a bearing on the final result, but at the time, the Tigers were hanging in there. Looked like it held up. The referee on field said try. After many, many looks, the video referee decided that, you know what, I'm just going to go with the on-field referee, even though it was pretty clear that he was held up. Another matter of inconsistency there. Pete, we said earlier in the year we were happy with the changes to the video referee, but now it just seems to be overwhelming things. Is this going to be an ongoing issue going into finals time that could just blow up even more?
I don't think we'll ever overcome issues with the video referee. As I may have mentioned before, I know the players nicknamed it the lottery line a couple of years ago because they couldn't understand, although some players aren't aware of the rules, the intricacies of some of these rules. I do prefer this system to what we had last year with this benefit of the doubt try business. I think that there are probably less tries being given by the video referee this year, and I do like the emphasis of the decision, the initial decision being put on the on-field referees. I think that is a good one. So the crowd and everyone else can see whether he thinks it's a try or a no try, instead of simply saying, I've got an opinion. I think that, as I said, it's going to be an ongoing issue. Where they believe there's enough evidence to overturn a decision, that is the grey area. I don't know where they see that sometimes. I'm absolutely flummoxed, as old Rex Mossop used to say, looking at some of these calls. I think I'll sit there and watch the replay after replay, and we get about 20 replays, and you think, well, is it a try or not? No, I think, no, that's definitely a try. And it comes back, no try. And you think, oh, okay. Some of them, I must admit, are unclear. It is very hard to tell whether it's a try or no try. In regards to Jeff Tuvey's comments the other night, Ray Warren said on radio the next day that he said no, it was definitely not a try, and the other commentators believed also. I believe that it was. They said it was not a try, so maybe Tuvey just had his maroon and white glasses on with that one. Yeah, I think it's going to be an ongoing issue, but yeah, I hope that a grand final is not decided. You know, it's the old thing: if there's a standard grand final test, and we all hope that a grand final is not decided in that fashion by contentious video referee call.
Yeah, I think a lot of the point is a procedural, you know, in, maybe not interpretation, but following something to black and white degree. I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear Ray Warren's comment, obviously, watching the game. It looked for all money, Maddow scored. But the evidence couldn't be proved conclusively to overturn it. So maybe Warren was saying that it was correct, the decision was correct to go back to the on-field referee's decision. But it just opens up a can of worms in the fact that you can tell that, you know, he's slid over the line, and the fact that, you know, you can't sort of award it based upon, because you'd be circumstantial evidence, let's say, that he scored rather than, you know, and actual photographic evidence, it could become a big issue. It's like the forward pass rule. I mean, it's quite stupid, really, that they can't adjudicate on a forward pass, because what if someone threw it 5 metres forward and the referee happened to miss it and he sent it to the video referee? What is the video referee going to do? Is he seriously going to press the green light? I mean, could you imagine that in a grand final, for example? It's just crazy to have these black and white laws that are just all-encompassing and all-powering, and when common sense should prevail. Other issues that have come up about the video ref, including players staying down to get decisions of high tackles awarded in their favour. Pete, I thought the video referee would only come in for really obvious bad foul play where it was put on report, but it just seems now that every time a player stays down, you know that person's going to get a penalty and get put on report, even if it wasn't that bad a tackle.
That's right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
It can just be a little tap on the head from the tackler, and I'm not suggesting that Inglis is in any way a player to stay down, because it's not something you like to see in rugby league. It's been the bane of the existence of soccer as well. Yeah. A lot of people like myself get frustrated with soccer.
They're doing it. I mean, Andrew Fifita came out on Monday night with Matty Johns to say, yes, I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can't blame them. You know, like a penalty, another 40 metres, another set of sixes is a great advantage.
Yeah.
And if they think, you know, it is illegal to hit a player in the head. But, yeah, it can just be like a little tap in the head and can quite accidental, come off the shoulder, for example, up in the neck region, and, yeah, they give a penalty for it. And there's no damage done to the player. If the player is hurt and stays down and it's reviewed, I've got no problem. But, if it's severe enough, but, yeah, they've somehow got to wind back that intervention of the video referee with those. And it also stops the game as well, which I find annoying. Particularly on the first tackle where the fullback's taking the ball out from the line after a kick, there's often like legs and arms going everywhere, and the whole contact is usually 99% is accidental. There's very little dirty play in the modern game. So, I think they've got to have a close look at it and hopefully wind back the intervention there from the video referee.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think they've just got to basically get rid of it. They used to intervene when it came into two in the tackle hands in there and all that, and they don't do that anymore, so I think they've got to do the same thing there. We've got to keep moving along to our dead or alive segment, Pete. It's all up to you here. We're going to give some names of teams and you're going to let us know whether they're still alive or whether they're the walking dead for 2013. Dead or alive. And Pete, we're going to start with a team that is still in eighth but look like they've got a tough run home, the Gold Coast Titans.
I'm going to say dead.
Oh, wow. They got a tough run.
They do indeed, and that's why I don't think they can sustain it. They've had a couple of good recent wins, but dead, I think they're going to last. Dead.
Dead man. Dead man walking.
There you go. The Raiders, who just sacked their coach. Are they dead or alive?
I think there's too much off-field stuff going on there. I know the old thing about sack the coach and the team performs. Look at recent history of the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're dead. I think the problems are too ingrained. I think they're gone.
Wow.
Dead man! Dead man walking!
So the two teams that are locked in eighth right now are gone, according to Pete.
Dead man!
Let's talk about the next team, the Brisbane Broncos. Fairly good draw for them.
Yep, and I really like the spirit in this club. I think Anthony Griffin has done a pretty good job, and I think they're very much alive, the Broncos.
There you go. Broncos still alive. They do have a good run home, and it looks like that a Queensland team may get into the eight after all. What about the North Queensland Cowboys?
Cowboys are very similar. Having their coach sacked 3 weeks ago seems to have, given them something more to play for. I'm not really sure how that works. But I bet Henry wished it would have started 6 weeks ago. They've also got a good draw coming home, and now they're looking good. They're definitely still alive.
Yeah, there you go. And look, I have to agree with you so far. I think it's pretty much playing out as expected. But there's a couple of teams left that could still make a run. What about the Penrith Panthers?
The Penrith Panthers, what? I just can't pick this team at the moment. And I see that as a problem. I think they're too inconsistent. I don't think they'll really have the strength to get home at the end of the competition. I think they're dead.
Well, that's a big call. But
dead man.
Despite the win,
dead man walking.
Despite the win last week against the Warriors, I don't know. I think they might still be alive, myself. And speaking of the Warriors, they're the last team on our list, Pete. How do you think, is their season dead or alive?
The old saying, if this team were a racehorse, they would be swabbed every week. I really don't know with these guys. I'm going to say they're alive. They've got a decent home. They've got a decent draw coming, and I think they can still just be alive.
They're the type of team that you wouldn't want to play against in the finals, but as a neutral fan, you'd certainly want to see them there because they play an exciting brand of football. So I hope you're right. They are still alive. Big game against the Titans this week, and we may as well go straight into this week's predictions. You are listening to NRL Live, of course. Find us on the podcast, www.pauliegsports.com. And we do super coach predictions, and we also predict the games. We're going to do that right now for you. And starts with Friday night footy. Pretty big game for both teams, the Panthers and the Broncos. You would think the loser of this will face an uphill battle to make the eight. Both the Broncos and Panthers are in the top half of Supercoach scorers, but bottom half when it comes to stopping Supercoach points. So this should be a high-scoring affair if you've got players from both teams. If you're looking for that extra edge, the Panthers are toughest for opposing fullbacks to score. So maybe not the best week for the informed Josh Hoffman. While they do struggle against centres and wingers being second last and 5-8 last overall. So let's look at Corey Oates, Jack Reid, Jordan Kahu and Scott Prince all getting played safely. The Broncos are also bad against centres and wingers and 5-8, third last in both. So Isaac John and Panthers wingers Dave Simmons and Josh Mansour, who both scored 2 tries last week, should be played if you have them. Dean Farray could also continue his good form from last week, could be a good sleeper pick. Look, I was impressed with the way the Panthers went last week. I'm going to tip them at home, even though the Broncos are playing pretty well right now. Pete, how do you see it going?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm tipping the Broncos. I think these guys are on a bit of a surge. I said that I think they're still alive, and I think they're going to kill off Penrith. I really like the selection. Ben Hunt at halfback, brave selection by Anthony Griffin at this time of the year. They dropped their well-established halfback, Peter Wallace. I think it's paying dividends so far. They played well last week without Hodges, who's normally the go-to man. And, yeah, I can see him just getting over the top of Penrith in the end.
Tigers MS, although he's not with us tonight, he has put in his tips, and he's coming home with a wet sail against you, Pete. So it's getting pretty tight. You can go to the website, www.pulleygsports.com, to see those tips. He's picking the Panthers, so it's a big game, big game for you both. Rabbitohs v. the Bulldogs. I should have also said I'm a long way behind in last, so it doesn't really matter what I think. The Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs is the other Friday night game. It should be a good game. Look, they're both in the top five as far as the latter's concerned. They're both in the top five for stopping Supercoach points. It's not going to be the best week if your team's loaded with Souths and Dogs players. Mind you, the Rabbits are in the top five for scoring Supercoach points, unlike the Dogs, which are in the bottom five. So at least that gives them an edge. Adam Reynolds came back to form last week. Greg Inglis is our buyer of the week after returning from injury last Friday night. Trent Hodkinson has been very good for Canterbury this year, but Souths are actually fourth worst against 5-8. So maybe Josh Reynolds is worth the play. I'm not sure which way to go with this one. It's at, you know, both teams' home venue of ANZ Stadium, Pete. I guess I'm going to pick Souths. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the cream will really rise to the top with this one. And Inglis and Sutton back last week, although Sutton was a little bit quiet, it certainly made a difference. And I think they both lift the players around them. And South's form, even without the two of them, wasn't that bad. I thought the three quarters of the game against Melbourne, they played pretty well. Canterbury beat a pretty out of sorts Canberra last week. It was a win, and Canberra just seem to be getting wins against teams that I really don't rate at the moment, I have to say. And they're still missing Cassiano. It was a massive loss for them. I'll take Souths. It'll be a close match, but I expect Souths to win this one.
Certainly the biggest test for the Bulldogs in recent weeks. Also, Souths should be mentioned, Adam Reynolds. He found touch from a goal line dropout. It was a fantastic play and really turned that game on its head. Against Manly on Friday night. The Dragons and the Tigers at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Now, this is a game where they're honouring 963 when St George played West in the grand final. The one that was made famous from the Premiership Cup that we now see with Norm Proven and Arthur Summons that we've had since 1982. I think that from a Supercoach perspective, Tigers are second worst at giving away Supercoach points. It could be another good day for Jason Nightingale and Brett Morris, especially as West's are second worst against fullback and worse against centres and wingers. Dragons are second worst against second rowers, so Liam Fulton and Ben Murdoch-Masila could have a good day. Not a lot else to mention from the Tigers, however, although James Tedesco did play well on Monday night. I'm thinking St George by 20. Pete, can you see anything different happening here?
I'd expect the Dragons to win, but I said not by a huge amount. These games between these two clubs are usually quite close. The Tigers were, they were only down 14-6 at half time last week. There's obviously some issues on there with Benji and so on. It's just not gelling there. But the Dragons just don't know how to score points, so we could end up with a nil all game or something. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Well, yeah, the way Jason Nightingale's going.
I'd expect the Dragons to win, but I don't think this is going to be a high quality game. I think it's just, and a personal opinion, I think it's just a cynical money grab from the Dragons to move it from Cogra to the SCG. This game has already been commemorated by the West Tigers, and they're playing at the West Tigers versus the Dragons at the SCG earlier this year. So. Anyway.
That is true. It is a bit of a weird one.
And of course, other piece of rugby league news, player news, is that Matt Cooper has also announced his retirement, effective basically immediately. His abductor muscle a few weeks ago against the Bunnies, and that was his last match. He played 243 matches for St George Illawarra, second most capped after Ben Hornby.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame for him not to be able to go out, I guess, with a farewell match. It's hard enough to go out a winner, but at least to go out playing a final game knowing it's your last is something. But unfortunately for some players, it doesn't work out that way, and it looks like it's not going to work out that way for Matt Cooper. I should also mention Tigers MS picking the Dragons as well, and he picked Souths to beat the Dogs also in the game on Friday night. Two other games on Saturday evening, Titans-Warriors at 5:30. The Warriors give up fourth most points in Supercoach, so the Titans can come back into form in style here. Abbott Kelly returns from injury at a good time. New Zealand are second worst against halfbacks. Greg Bird has been named, but he is doubtful with an injury, so keep an eye out if you've got him in your lineup. David Meade's been hot lately, but he does move back to the wing to accommodate William Zillman, who was a late call-up last week. Both players could still be worth playing. Warriors were good last week from a Supercoach perspective, despite losing, but the question, Peter, is always which Warriors will turn up. Might be a good week to look elsewhere for your Supercoach points. You said they're still alive. Can the Warriors, though, I guess if they are still alive, they need to win this game.
Absolutely. This is basically do or die for both of these, as far as I'm concerned. The Titans have a tough draw coming. They need this win. The Warriors, they also need it. They've gone so close the last couple of weeks. Let it slip. I'm going to stick with them for one more week. They have the talent. They are an incredibly talented outfit. If they bring it, if they can click, then they will win and win convincingly.
We mentioned earlier.
Whether that will happen or not is another thing.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier about Fleety Mateo from a Supercoach perspective. Well, it hasn't just been his Supercoach form that's been down. He's actually been dropped to the bench by Coach Matt Elliott. It's a big move. Todd Lowry comes into the starting lineup. Suar Matagi, he was outstanding against Penrith last week. He's also into the starting lineup. So there's been some changes. Whether it'll be enough, obviously not so sure. I've been impressed with Thomas Luai lately. I wasn't impressed with him at the start of the year, but he's come on strong. I'm still going to pick the Titans. I like them. They've got Albert Kelly back, as I mentioned earlier, so that allows Ashley Harrison to move back into the back row. Ryan James has been very good lately, but he'll still come off the bench. Matt Schrammer is back, but he can't get back in the number nine because of the form of Bo Falloon. He's been very good, the young hooker. So I'm thinking at home the Titans have the edge, and Tigers MS is going to go with me. So both picking Gold Coast there. The other Saturday night game is just as critical for both teams, North Queensland Cowboys versus Newcastle Knights. Look, the Knights could lose this and still make the eight, but I tell you what, they're starting to look over their shoulder. They had the opportunity to get a three-point gap on eighth spot if they'd had beaten the Storm last week. They weren't able to do it, and now this game having to go up to North Queensland is going to be very tough. From a Supercoach perspective, Tigers MS has Kyle Felt as his buyer of the week. Now, despite the fact the Knights are fairly strong defensively, we do think the Cowboys' backline are all players, in particular Jonathan Thurston and, of course, Felt. For the Knights, Dane Gagai and Joey Lelua have been good lately. Robbie Rocco has been very consistent. He top scored for the Knights last week with 78 and is a must play again this week. I think the Cowboys are going to do it up there, but both teams desperately need the win, Pete.
Absolutely. This is going to be, I think it's going to be a cracking game of football. Cowboys have hit form the last few weeks. Newcastle, I tipped last week to beat Melbourne and 10-all with 20 minutes to go. You know, that 23-10 wasn't a true reflection of the difference between the two of them, as they say. Close. I'll just tip the Cowboys because they're at home.
Yeah.
No other reason.
And Tigers MS doing the same. I'll tell you what, the good games continue. Sunday football, the Canberra Raiders v Manly. This is a must-win for the Raiders. They've sacked their coach. Maybe a change of fortune will go along with it. Reece Robinson has been moved back to fullback with Anthony Milford replacing Terry Campese at 5'8". That means Sammy Salima returns on the wing to cover the move. Bill Tupou replaces injured Jack White, and a number of changes there for the Raiders. Tigers MS thinks the Manly backline are good things here. So Canberra are the third worst against halfback. Could also be a good day for Daly Cherry Evans, but he's saying put both the Stuart brothers in, Steve Maddie and also George Tafua, basically are the big names for him. Looking a little bit deeper, Raiders are also second worst against front row forwards, so Brenton Lawrence could be a good play also. I'm going to tip the Raiders by a point. You often see a bounce back game when a coach gets sacked. Pete, Andrew Judiman taken over there as an interim coach. He was the assistant to David Ferner. How do you see it going?
Really don't know how the Raiders are going to handle this. I hear what you're saying about this bounce back factor. I said we've seen it recently with the Cowboys and plenty of other clubs, and it goes across codes even. It's not just a rugby league thing. However, Manly are a quality team. I don't believe they're good enough to win the comp, as good as Souths or the Roosters or Melbourne. But I think they'll give this Canberra team a lesson, and I think they'll do them reasonably well. I think particularly through their halves, Canberra really miss Campese, with Kieran Foran and Daly Cherry Evans there, and also still the absence of Blake Ferguson for whatever reason from the Raiders is a big loss. And I think that Manly will get them.
Storm for the Eels is the 3 o'clock game down in Melbourne, and it's, well, Melbourne are well and truly back from their mid-season slump. Playing the Eels, they give up more Supercoach points than any other team. Cameron Smith top scored last week, but he may even do better this week. Billy Slater's also been excellent in recent weeks. The Eels are worst against halfback and second rowers, so Cooper Cronk, Ryan Hoffman and Ryan Hinchcliffe can all be played with confidence. Melbourne haven't been as strong this year, but expect tough going for the Eels down there. Vijay Tai's been named in the centres. Daniel Harrison hasn't played the last couple of weeks, is named on a five-man bench, but not a lot to like from a Supercoach perspective if you've got Parramatta players. Jared Hayne is out again, another injury there, which means Ben Roberts, who's actually had some big games recently, moves back to 5'8". I think Melbourne comfortably, Pete.
Absolutely. Anyone who tips anything else in this game must be Peter Sterling or someone, I don't know. But
Nathan Hindmarsh?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we keep moving
Definitely Melbourne. Particularly, yeah. Parramatta have played a lot better with Jared Hayne back on the side, but yeah, you know, they're going to miss him again.
He's out.
It's a shame. Yep.
Let's keep moving. Monday night footy, Sharks and the Roosters. It should be an absolute great game, I think. Last year's corresponding game, of course, ended in a 90-minute draw. Sharks will be far tougher than the tepid Tigers outfit the Roosters played on Monday night. And I tell you what, if Sydney Roosters play like they did in the first half, Cronulla will win this game. In saying that, James Maloney is in excellent form, and as is Mitchell Pearce. So perhaps the Roosters can do well. So, certainly from a Supercoach perspective, I would say they're safely plays, as is Cronulla's Andrew Fifita, who's on fire. Look, both teams are very tough to score. The Roosters the toughest, while the Sharks are seventh. It might be better to look elsewhere, at least, for the captain. Sonny Bill Williams did return strongly from injury last week. And always, you've got Roger Tavasashek, who is a bit of a Supercoach gamer as well. I'm tempted to tip the Sharks here. I'm going to go the Sharks. Pete, what do you think?
I was looking at the team lists, and gee, that's a good pack of forwards that the Sharks have there with a couple of the old Tigers, old boys there, Andrew Fifita and Bryce Gibbs, and yeah. Luke Lewis, Wade Graham, Paul Gallen. You know, there's not many better...
all returned at the right time from their various injuries and whatnot, so...
Absolutely.
Just have to look at that bench, Anthony Tupou and Jason Pecure and Chris Hynington on the bench.
Yeah, and not to mention Isaac de Goyce is an underrated player. Very fine player. I'm surprised that John Morris was selected ahead of him, actually. However, looking at the Roosters forwards, they're an excellent pack of forwards. Now looking at the back line and see this Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who's had a brilliant season.
Yeah.
And Michael Jennings, this guy is class written all over him, and I think Pomeroy and Jonathan Wright will be having nightmares about him. I think the Roosters will win. I think Cronulla will run them close for a long time, but I think the Roosters will finish over the top of them.
Yeah, well, Tigers MS is going to break the deadlock. He's picking the Roosters. And it's just about all we have for the show this week. But, of course, if you're not a regular listener, we'd like to do this little thing called World of Sport. The end of each week, something that's just a little bit different from the weird, wonderful world of sport. This week, Jeff Tuivasa went off at the referees, as we mentioned earlier in the show, and I thought, well, what better place to go than America's game, the NFL, for press conferences that went horribly wrong. So let's listen to a couple of them here.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
First one was Jim Mora, the Indianapolis Colts coach, who, that famous line, I'll just...
playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Hey, isn't it refreshing to hear honesty from a coach actually blaming his own players instead of blaming officials?
Yeah, you should have heard the full clip. He really does go off. Playoffs. Oh, dear. Dennis Brown was the other one, Minnesota Vikings coach. Playoffs. Won't get that one out of your head once it's in. Pete, thank you so much for tonight.
Absolute pleasure.
Of course, you can download all the shows at www.coolergsports.com. Coming towards the end of the season, but we'll have other information up there throughout the year, and NFL information if you like it, other sports. So make sure that you head on down to the website, and you can click a like at Facebook, Coolergsports Facebook fan page.